Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, a federal judge recently told school officials in San Diego, California, to reveal details of their work with an Islamic advocacy organization that has been designated as a terrorist group. Of course, by that designation, it puts them in the same classification as ISIS itself. Well, now a legal team in that fight says it has issued investigative subpoenas to the California chapter of the Council on American Islamic Relations, otherwise known as CARE, as part of a federal civil rights lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of the San Diego United School District's anti-Islamophobia initiative. The case is being handled by the Freedom of Conscience Defense Fund, which is working on behalf of parents in that particular school district. Now, here's the problem. The district's multi-year program was developed under the direction of CARE as a holistic plan to protect Muslim students and their families from bullying and discrimination. As part of the initiative, staff and students are taught by CARE officials to become allies to Muslim students. And CARE is empowered to revise school curriculum to portray Islam more favorably. You heard me correctly. CARE is empowered to revise school curriculum in order to portray Islam in a more favorable light. Well, the Freedom of Conscience Defense Fund is seeking communication between CARE agents and the school district, as well as documents tracing the Islamic organization's strategic process for gaining inside access to impressionable school children. CARE's national director testified that proselytizing to school children is a quote unquote religious obligation, and that the purpose of CARE's educational outreach is to do precisely that, which includes passing out religious propaganda to students during class. And they're attempting, according to CARE itself, to create a religious educational environment. Well, the chief counsel for the LCDF, the group that's fighting this, explained it this way. He said, through deliberate manipulation, CARE has gained unprecedented power and influence over San Diego's United Superintendent and School Board. And these subpoenas seek to answer questions about the extent of CARE's infiltration into the school district. And with that, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I am Dave Kistler. I'm your host today, and along with me to share the radio microphone is Gary Dull, the co-host today. And all this week, we're going to be doing programs that unveil the evil that is Islamic ideology. Many of you will remember the incredible poem the president recited during the campaign in 2016. He's recited it at a rally or two since becoming president of the United States. That poem is called The Vicious Snake. And so our theme today is this: exposing the vicious snake, an expose of Islamic ideology and its grand design for America. And to help us with our discussion today, we have as our special returning guest, Tom Wallace. He is the founder of Fortress of Faith. Tom is not only an Islamic scholar, he is also a theological expert and a former missionary in the United Kingdom. And so, Tom, I want to welcome you to the program today. Thank you so much for being aboard.
Well, Dave, always it's a joy to be with you and Gary, and appreciate you guys dealing with this topic. I came off the foreign mission field to warn my countrymen of the dangers of Islam that is not just creeping into our nation, but sweeping. I'm amazed at how fast things are developing here, and so appreciate you guys taking the time to cover this topic.
Well, Tom, you are one of our favorite guests. We always get great feedback when we have you aboard. You're also host of your own radio program. I would like you to say a little more about that before we end the program today. But let's go to this topic of what's going on in the San Diego United School District. CARE, which, of course, as you well know, is a front group for the Muslim Brotherhood, has gained access to an unprecedented influence over America's school children in that one particular school district, if not other districts around the country as well. My question to you, Tom, is this: does this surprise you, or is this the modus operandi, the MO for CARE in how they infiltrate a community, infiltrate a school system, even infiltrate our government?
Oh, not in the least. I've been warning people about this here for about 10 years now. And let me give you a quote from Omar Ahmed. He gave this in down in the Southern California back in 1998. He thought he was speaking to just a room of Muslims, but a reporter from the San Ramon newspaper was there, East Bay Times. And this was July the 4th. Now, Omar Ahmed, you need to understand who he is. He is the co-founder of CARE. He and Iwad Awad founded CARE many years ago. And let me quote what Omar Ahmed said. Islam isn't in America to be equal to any other faith, but to become dominant. And the Quran, the Muslim book of scripture, should be the highest authority in America, and Islam the only accepted religion on earth. Now, they have two faces. They speak one thing to their Muslim community, and another face that they speak to the American public. And they build themselves, they fashion themselves as the civil rights organization to protect civil rights. But they are a Muslim Brotherhood front group. And what's interesting is that the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, a Gulf state nation, has not only designated the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization, but they've gone as far as identifying CARE, the Council of American Islamic Relations, as a terrorist organization. And it's very clear that the connections, if you follow it, you trace it, it's not very difficult to follow this. But most of America is asleep at the wheel. We are not aware that that this group is operating for the demise, the destruction of our country from within.
You know, Tom, this is very interesting that you bring this up. But, you know, my question is, how are Muslim groups so effective in gaining access today when so often Christian groups are never granted that same access?
You know, isn't that ironic? You know, we as a Christian nation, Christians are treated as the stepchild, the ugly stepchild here. And Islam is being embraced at every attempt. When Obama was our president, any opportunity he had to oppose or support Islam, he always went to support them. We see this happening so much. Let me give you really why all this is happening. It's a spiritual battle we're in.
Tom, let me hold you right there for just a second, because we've got to go into the break. And friends, when we return, it's not just the school system in San Diego that has been infiltrated and is feeling the direct effect of Islam. So have Florida's schools, particularly Parkland, Florida. Haven't heard about this? Well, friends, you're going to after the break as we discuss this topic, exposing the vicious snake, an expose of Islamic ideology and its grand design for America. Friends, please come back after the break. What we're going to share with you, what Tom's going to share, is going to be over the top powerful. Don't miss it on Stand in the Gap today.
There's a silent but deadly cult spreading like a cancer among us. It's already martyred millions around the world and forced others into sexual slavery. That deadly cult is Islam. Pretending to be something it is not, Islam masquerades as peace but means submission. Yet most Americans are oblivious to this danger within. You can now learn the truth. You can get an attractive copy of What Every Christian Must Know About Islam this week for a gift of any amount from Stand in the Gap Radio. With key facts from previous radio programs, programs and guests on Stand in the Gap today, including former Muslims, now Christians, former FBI agents, and preachers. This quick-read booklet tells you what you need to know, simply and clearly. What every Christian must know about Islam, an original publication of the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Radio. Yours now for a gift of any amount. Just go to standinthegapradio.com to order or write us at Stand in the Gap Radio, Box 83, West Main Street, Elverson, Pennsylvania, 19520. Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com. Hello, I'm your host, Sam Rohr. Can I talk with you for just a moment? We love to hear from our listeners, to hear your suggestions and which themes and guests you like the most. Let me share two recent listener comments. A handwritten note from Judy, a $25 a month partner, said this, quote, "Thanks so very much for giving us news that we just can't find anywhere else on radio or TV," end quote. And Bill said this, quote, "Every day at lunchtime, our entire furniture factory shuts down to eat. The highlight of the day for 25 of us is Stand in the Gap Today. Your comments are true and thought-provoking. It challenges us to think clearly about all the nonsense around us. We love the biblical and constitutional perspective. There's just no one else like you," end quote. Now, if Judy and Bill's comments connect with you, would you join with us as they have for just a few dollars a month? It would make all of the difference of us staying on your station. Just go to standinthegapradio.com and set up a monthly gift. And while you're there, sign up for our emails, too.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, about 5 days ago, a video surfaced of Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel attending a meeting of Muslims where both Israel and one of his sheriff deputies spoke in Arabic. The meeting was held at one of the local mosques. It was held during the month of Ramadan in 2015. So we're talking about 3 years ago. The deputy said that Israel pledged to keep young people out of jail and to put, quote, "God first, your family second, and the community third." Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Dave, what is wrong with that? Sheriff Scott Israel of the Broward County Sheriff's Department wants God first, family second, the community third. But he's speaking in a mosque where the God of the Islamic community is Allah, and he is not the same as the God of the Bible. So there's where the problem comes in. In that meeting, Israel speaks in Arabic to a group of Muslims. He credits his deputy, Nazar Hamzi, as a like-minded individual who's on the same mission as Scott Israel, the sheriff. And Israel compares himself and Hamzi to lions on a mission. Both Israel and Hamzi boast that they want to keep young people out of jail rather than put them in jail. Israel says that he puts troubled young people in a program where they will get help with narcotics and other issues. And this is a direct quote from Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel. "I want to put God first, my family second, community third," and then not Hamzi, the deputy sheriff, who is a Muslim and a member of CARE there in Florida, quotes Israel as telling the sheriff's office team the same thing. Israel says, and I quote, "There is only one perfect person, God, and you're not it, and I'm not it. We make mistakes. Police make mistakes every day, and I understand that. And that's why we have to partner with our community." Why is Nazar Hamzi, his Muslim deputy police chief, here? Because as a man who studies Islam and as a Muslim, He's going to find out information that we can't. He's going to bring information back to the community and take information from the community back to us, end quote. And again, this is Sheriff Scott Israel of the Broward County Sheriff's Department speaking. And again, Nazar Hamzi, his Muslim deputy sheriff, who is also a member of CARE. Now, I want you just to listen to a brief clip of this 2015 meeting. The voice you're going to hear first is, in fact, actually, I think the only voice you'll hear will be that of Nazar Hamzi, the Muslim deputy sheriff in Broward County. I want you to listen to how charismatic he is. I want you to listen to him speaking in Arabic and then in English, getting ready to introduce the sheriff of Broward County to this Muslim mosque. Russ, let's listen to the clip.
And alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with another Ramadan, mashallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has locked the shaitan, and alhamdulillah, the sheriff continues to lock the bad people in jail. Alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, I wanted to stand here before you today. Is Lisa here? She needs to come up. It's important that we hear from our community, inshallah. I won't take much time, and I'll introduce the sheriff. But I want to testify before you, brothers and sisters, because it's important for you to hear from us, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, a couple of years ago, I had an opportunity to witness our sheriff be sworn in. And he said something that resonates with me, and I want to share it with you so you know the type of individual and what he does. He said, regarding our youth, our children, because we all focus on our children very much. He said he's going to measure his success by how many kids he keeps out of jail and not how many kids he puts in jail. Takbir. Brothers and sisters, this was an indicator for me that this man is a straight man. He is a man of honor, of haq, of justice. Alhamdulillah, I had another opportunity to hear him speak, and he was talking to his team, the employees, the deputies, the people that protect you on the street. He said, I want you to put God first. Listen to me. This sounds like Sheikh Shafayat. I want you to put God first, your family second, and the community third. Takbir. Brothers and sisters, this is the reality. This is the man that is our sheriff.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is an amazing clip that you just heard. And Tom, I want to go to you immediately. You heard the introduction given to Sheriff Scott Israel. He then speaks in Arabic briefly, and then in English the rest of the time, during which he insinuates that God is the same for Islam as he is for Jews and Christians. And on I could go. This man, and I'm talking about Police Chief Scott Israel and his deputy chief, Nazar Hamzi, were the ones who presided over, ladies and gentlemen, the failed attempt at protecting the innocent school children at Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Tom, to be honest with you, I'm speechless, and I would love to have your thoughts on all of this.
Well, now I've seen that clip. Of course, you know, his deputy chief is dressed there in his sheriff's, you know, in his deputy sheriff's uniform. But listening to it just over the radio, the way you played that, at first I was thinking, my goodness, this man sounds like our former President Obama. And when he's addressing the Muslim community, it sounded so much like him, brought back memories. One thing I think we also need to mention is that there's a video of the sheriff dressed there at the chief deputy. They're dressed in his Muslim garb, training, you know, this mosque, this Muslim community, how they can and should protect themselves with guns. You know, you see him with his Glock 19 there. They're demonstrating how to protect yourself with guns, citizens, or, you know, this Muslim community. And yet this very same sheriff's department is very much against teachers being armed and protecting our children there in the school system. I find that very ironic. But now to address this, the Muslim sentiments and the Islamic sentiments that are being shared here by the Sheriff's Department. One thing our American community needs to understand, in the eyes of Muslims, the God of Allah, the God of Islam, the God of Muhammad, to them is also the same God of Moses and of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God who created heaven and earth, the God who created Adam and Eve. In their minds, that they're all talking of the same God. Every Muslim usually starts this conversation with me when I talk about my faith and their faith. Oh, well, we have the same God. And I respond with this, oh, wonderful, that's great. So then your God has a son. And then they get this confused or mean look on their face. No, for Allah hath no son. Then I say, oh, well, then we don't have the same God, because my God, Jehovah God, has a begotten son, Jesus Christ. So it's clearly we do not have the same God. But the point that they're trying to make is that putting God first is that they're trying to say is we're going to put Allah first. We're going to keep your sons, your Muslim sons, out of jail. We're going to protect them. And, yeah, it is kind of concerning that he's addressing the Muslim community with this message.
You know, Tom, for 9 minutes, and I say 9 tragic minutes, we know now that none of the Broward County police on the scene there at Stoneman Douglas entered the school building as kids and teachers were basically sitting ducks and being massacred. And then for 29 minutes, one of those police officers didn't enter, but told the others to, quote, stay 500 feet away, end quote, from the building where the shooting was actually occurring. And I know many people have asked this question, but I ask you, what in the world is going on here? Why are Islamic police officers unable to really swear allegiance to the United States of America, to U.S. law, and really protect United States citizens?
Now, Brother Dole, you have just raised a very interesting question. I believe that's probably the most powerful question that to be asked. Can we trust Muslims to be loyal to the laws of America and also remain loyal to the tenets of Islam? Is that possible? And my answer to that question is a resounding no, absolutely not. If they're going to be a loyal, faithful Muslim, they cannot be loyal and faithful to the laws of America, because Islam will not permit it. They have a system that is an antithesis to the system of America. We cherish freedoms, freedom of speech, freedom of choice, freedom to choose who you worship or not worship at all. Islam does not give that permission at all. We get to choose who governs you. Islam doesn't give you that choice. Those choice and those rights, they're not rights. They are things that that you do not have rights to in an Islamic form of a system. And so when Muslims swear allegiance to the Bible or rather to the American Constitution to protect it, they're either lying or they are not a faithful Muslim. And I think that they're lying to us. I think that's been demonstrated time and time again.
Tom, what you're sharing is very important information. It's very disturbing. And ladies and gentlemen, there's something about the Parkland shooting that makes no sense at all to me. It's beyond odd that the heavily Islamic-friendly, Islamic-infiltrated police force in Broward did nothing to stop the shooting for 9 minutes or longer. And when we come back, we're going to delve into the Islamic infiltration into all aspects of American life. How are they doing it? More importantly, why are they doing it? Our topic, exposing the vicious snake, an expose of Islamic ideology and its grand design for America on Stand in the Gap today. Join us after the break.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Ladies and gentlemen, this woman's name you may or may not have heard. Her name is Barbara Sharif. In fact, her full name is Barbara Mohammed Sharif, and she is an American politician. In fact, she has been a Broward County, Florida commissioner since 2010. And in 2016, she was reappointed as mayor of Broward County, having previously served from 2013 to 2014, and she's the country's first African-American female and Muslim mayor. You're hearing me correctly. In the same county where Stoneman Douglas High School is, that has a very Islamic-friendly police department in the form of Scott Israel, the police chief, and Nazar Hamzi, the deputy police chief, who is a committed Muslim member of the organization we're talking about today called CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations. The mayor of Broward County is also a Muslim. Now, why am I bringing that up? Well, friends, if you know anything about London, England, you know that Sadiq Khan is a Muslim mayor in that city of London, and he has clear ties to terrorists. That is a documented fact. It was him who, after the killing of 22 innocents at an Ariana Grande concert, said the following: "We are going to have to get used to terrorism." In other words, terrorism in London, terrorism in England, terrorism in the United Kingdom, it's the new normal, something with which we're going to have to become accustomed. So, Tom, I want to go to you. You cited this earlier in the program in segment one, that you left the United Kingdom as a missionary there to come back to the United States of America to warn our nation, specifically to warn the church in America, about a diabolical, sinister, demonic enemy. So my question is this: why are Muslim mayors, Muslim law enforcement officials, Muslim city council members, why do people that are committed to Islamic ideology in those positions, why do they present to America an incredibly dangerous dilemma?
Well, can I bring your attention to a document that was found by the FBI back in 2011? It was a document that was written by the Muslim Brotherhood, the Ikhwan. And it was found, the FBI found this in the home of Ismail Embrace back in 2011. He is a teacher, or was a teacher, in Virginia. And the FBI became suspicious of him. I won't get in the background of the story of that. But they raided his home and found in his basement a secret room. And in that room was a cache of documents and media. The prized piece of document that they found was a memorandum from the Muslim Brotherhood to the group in North America. Let me read to you from page 7. "The Ikhwan must understand that their work in America is a kind of grand jihad in eliminating and destroying Western civilization from within and sabotaging its miserable house." Now get this: "by their hands and the hands of the believers." So what are they saying in this document from the Muslim Brotherhood? "We are going to create a jihad." Jihad is a holy war, a struggle against evil, to eliminate Western civilization. How? From within. How are you going to do it? To sabotage their house by their hands. We're going to incorporate their own hands, their own system, and the hands of the believers. And in the, on the back page, it lists about 14 different groups that were complicit, that were working with the Muslim Brotherhood as front groups here. Now, the FBI has used this document as a court piece of evidence in the trial, what we call the Holy Land Fund trial in Dallas, Texas, during the Bush administration. They were starting to put these people away in jail. When Obama became president and Eric Holder became the new attorney general, he stopped that, and CARE and ISNA and a number of these other groups there were designated as unindicted co-conspirators. They were getting around to prosecute these people, but they never got to it because of Eric Holder. And we need to press our current attorney general, Sessions, to reopen that case. All that there is waiting to be done. That's another issue. Now, let me return to this judge. They are putting key people in government, judges, mayors, police chiefs. They are jockeying for these positions. They're training for these positions. In England, in the United Kingdom, there are 4 Hijaz centers. I live just 2-3 miles from one, and they are organized to train bankers, politicians, teachers, and they're working to develop these people to get into government positions. This has been going on in the United Kingdom for some time. I've been exposing this and talking about this. and this is also operating here in America. I don't know where they're located. They're a little bit more careful in hiding these locations of where they're training these people. Actually, I think they're training them right underneath our nose in our institutions and setting them up. They're being funded by CARE, by Muslim Brotherhood, and they're wealthy because we keep buying Saudi oil. And so we're funding our own demise. I know I sound like a conspirator talking about conspiracies and stuff there, but folks, this is happening and we better wake up to it.
You know, I think this is the thing that we need to wake up to, Tom. It almost appears to me is that the average American is either blind about what Islam is doing or doesn't want to understand what Islam is doing. And I wonder what the thought is among those who are leaders in our nation. You mentioned the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, that he needs to look into this again. Will he? Does he understand what is going on within Islam? And as we understand it, Tom, it appears as though for years Islam has been working on infiltrating into government here in the United States of America on every level. So this isn't anything new, as I understand it. It is something that's been going on for a long, long time. And then to hear that statement that you rendered here a moment ago, where they've written regarding us that they will sabotage their house by their own hands, that is critical. And so My question to you is this: what about those who say those of us who are concerned about Islam are overreacting or are just Islamophobic or are crying wolf? You know, how do you answer those critics who refuse to see what really is going on in front of our own faces?
I remind them of how people reacted to Winston Churchill when he was trying to warn Britain about the bully, the tyrant of Hitler, that they ought to pay attention to him. That appeasement is the wrong move. It's only going to give him time to get stronger, and they need to deal with him. They need to put that down, but they didn't listen. They thought he was a crazed man, a crazed should up and go away and just, you know, let's just, create an environment of peace as much as we can. And it doesn't work. You know, appeasing a bully never works. It never has worked. Historically, we can see that it's dangerous. And many people died as a result because they didn't listen to Winston Churchill earlier. And there were other people that were trying to warn, but they didn't listen to him. And, we have a new bully on the block. Back in the 40s, it was Nazism. It was Hitler. Today, it is Islam. And they are infiltrating here. The thing that's an advantage for Islam is that it's fashioned, it's designed under the face of a religion. So therefore, it has rights to be practiced here, and they can send their apostles around our country to spread their poison and to work their destruction from within. And the Muslim Brotherhood realized that. That's why I've been saying the Muslim Brotherhood is the most dangerous terrorist organization on the face of the earth, because they have identified our weakness, and they're exploiting it, and we're asleep at the wheel. And so far, our government has not called the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. There's a bill, H.R. 377, House Resolution 377, that the 115th Congress has put out there. It has a lot of Koch sponsors there to get this bill out of committee and get it on the floor to designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. Can you believe it? That our own country will not designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization when other countries have. That blows my mind.
Tom, let me jump in. We have just about 45 seconds till we're going to have to go to the break. And I want to ask you this and ask you to respond very quickly. Obviously, the Muslim Brotherhood and Muslim entities are strong opponents of the Second Amendment to the United States Constitution. They are fighting to get guns out of the hands of the general American populace. Mm-hmm. Talk about that for just a second. Why it's so important that we stand up and defend the Second Amendment because of the threat Islam poses.
Well, every tyrannical government knows you cannot operate if the citizens are armed. You have to disarm the citizens if you're going to control them with a dictatorship type of government. And that's the Islamic way. The Islamic government is a dictatorship. It always has been. That's what Muhammad gave them. And that's why they practice the very same thing in their governments. And you cannot have that if the citizens are armed, if they can fight back. And so naturally, yeah, it's in their interest to see us disarmed. So they're going to oppose the Second Amendment because the Second Amendment keeps us safe.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Tom Wallace. He is the president of Fortress of Faith. We're talking about this incredibly important theme, exposing the vicious snake, an expose of Islamic ideology and its grand design for America. And when we come back from a very brief timeout, we're going to talk about what can be done about this dangerous trend in our nation. Is there an answer? And friends, there is one, and we're going to provide that answer to you in very practical terms after this very brief timeout. Again, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today.
There's a silent but deadly cult spreading like a cancer among us. It's already martyred millions around the world and forced others into sexual slavery. That deadly cult is Islam. Pretending to be something it is not, Islam masquerades as peace but means submission. Yet most Americans are oblivious to this danger within. You can now learn the truth. You can get an attractive copy of What Every Christian Must Know About Islam this week for a gift of any amount from Stand in the Gap Radio. With key facts from previous radio programs and guests on Stand in the Gap today, including former Muslims, now Christians, former FBI agents, and preachers. This quick read booklet tells you what you need to know, simply and clearly. What Every Christian Must Know About Islam, an original publication of the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Radio. Yours now for a gift of any amount. Just go to standinthegapradio.com to order or write us at Stand in the Gap Radio, Box 83, West Main Street, Elverson, Pennsylvania, 19520. Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Here's what Dr. Jimmy DeYoung has to say about Stand in the Gap.
But I just feel compelled. This is an unsolicited testimonial that I want to bring to your audience. This opportunity that the people listening to you have to reach this nation with the truth, biblical truth, constitutional truth, has to be taken care of. The American Pastors Network, there's no parallel in all of America with that. The 425 radio stations, I mean, that's an unknown. And I don't know that anybody had put that kind of a network together to do what these guys are doing. And it's got a true focus as far as a talk program. Look at here. You got a former politician who would probably still like to be a politician. You have a pastor of a church, and you have an itinerant evangelist that travels all over the nation making impact the way he is. Folks, you got to support Stand in the Gap Radio. I just wanted to pass it along because I'm so impressed with this ministry.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today. I want to say this at the outset of this critically important final segment of our program today. In fact, it's a segment we commonly call our solution segment. And I want to say this, our discussion today is not meant to foster hatred for anyone. Our topic today is not directed primarily at people. We are addressing an ideology today that is beyond dangerous. Yes, adherents to that ideology have done and are doing and will continue to do very evil things, but we are to love those who are enslaved in any false ideology, including, and I would say even especially, the false ideology of Islam. These folks that are adherents to it have been enslaved by a deception. They have been lied to. And the only way they're ever going to be delivered from that deception is if we love them enough to tell them the truth and declare to them the glorious, life-changing, eternity-altering gospel of Jesus Christ. But the ideology that they're espousing itself is evil. I think Dr. Franklin Graham said it as well as it can be said when he called many years ago Islam an evil religion. And it is precisely that. It is an evil religion. I am not the least bit reticent to say that. Gary is not the least bit reticent to acknowledge that. Tom, as an Islamic scholar, is not the least bit hesitant to call Islam from an ideological standpoint precisely what it is, a deception, a lie, an evil ideology. And so, Tom, I want to go to you. Obviously, America has to deal with this evil ideology. It's anti-God. And when I say anti-God, I'm talking about the true God. It's certainly anti-American. It's anti-constitutional. And so in very practical terms, Tom, what can be done, what must be done in the United States of America to deal with this vicious snake that is making its inroads in rapid fashion across the United States of America?
Well, first of all, let me say, Dave, thank you for making that point that this is not to bash Muslims. America needs to understand they need to separate Islam from the Muslim. Please do not blame the Muslim for Islam. The Muslim is a victim of Islam. I have been saying this for years, and I'm just as passionate about resisting Islam as I am about rescuing Muslims. Muslims are victims. It's an ideology that's going to send these people to hell. They need the truth, and praise God, we as Christians, we have the answer. It's the Word of God, and if we can only get a Muslim into the Bible, and I've seen it happen so many times, that if we get them reading the Scriptures with us, and they realize that they've been lied to, and they see the light of the Scriptures, they come to Christ. And so, you know, I'm also the founder of Missions to Muslims. I am as actively about trying to evangelize Muslims as I am actively trying to resist the ideology of Islam and warn people of it. But what's the real solution? A Holy Ghost revival in our country. I have been trying to tell America Amen. That God is raising up a Islam as an instrument of judgment upon us because of our sin. We have sinned against God. We have angered God. We're foolish to think that we can continue in our wicked living here and expect God to wink at it and look the other way and continue to sing God Bless America in spite of our wicked sin. Mm. Folks, God is angered, and God is raising up our destruction if we do not repent. Mm. And I believe that Islam is the very element that will bring us to our knees and destroy us of our, and bring us to humble ourselves and repent. But we can volunteer to do that. We can admit, God, we were wrong. We have foolishly thought that we could, you know, run our own ship without you. And we need to fall on our knees and repent. And I believe God is bringing us and showing us destruction is coming our way if we continue, but we refuse to see it.
Gary, let me do this, because that is a take on this entire topic that you very seldom, in fact, I don't know if I've ever really heard it worded quite like Tom worded it, but with his statement, I completely concur, and I could tell you did as well because you uttered an amen. The answer to this entire dilemma is nothing less than revival in the United States of America. And I believe Tom is 100% correct. I think Islam is part of God's judgment on America. Is God allowing us to have what we have desired to have independent of him? And that is, we've tried to live our lives arrogantly, very superficially to be sure, in violent disregard of him. And so this is the consequence. So if revival, Gary, is the answer, and I'm firmly convinced it is, you are a pastor. What must take place inside the church? What must take place from the pulpits of America to facilitate, or if I could use this phrase, fan the flame of a revival in America? What must take place inside the church and especially from the pulpit?
Well, Dave, there's no doubt but that we need revival in America today. And I know that it disgusts you as well as it does me, and I'm sure Tom also, when you hear some evangelicals saying, well, you know, there will never be another revival in this nation. I don't like that. I think there could be another revival in America, and I think we need to pray for that. But, you know, revival is simply defined as when God's people get right with God. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. It's when God's people get right with God. There are so many things going on in the lives of born-again believers that are godless, that are secular, that are worldly. We talk often on this program about the authority of the Scripture. So often, the Word of God is not the authority in the lives of individual Christians. We need to get back to the Word of God. Now, what is that going to take? It's going to take, number one, preachers making sure that their pulpits are on fire with the truth of the Word of God. Secondly, it's going to take making certain that every one of us allow the Word of God to work effectively in our lives. Thirdly, it's going to mean we must be willing to repent of those things that have taken us away from biblical truth and get back to understanding who God is, what God expects, and how God operates. And I know that may seem like a simple formula, but that will be a formula that will bring us back to revival where God's people get right with God. Dave, it could very well be that God is judging America through Islam. We've often said, too, that he's judging America through the rise of homosexuality. He could be judging America through abortion. Listen, it's all around us. God's judgment is there. It's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to wake up.
Tom, before we exit the program, and we have just about a minute before we're going to have to leave the air, but I want you to just give our listeners the information they need as to where they can go to find out more about Fortress of Faith, as well as this new venture in which you're involved, and that's called Missions to Muslims. Talk about that, if you would, very quickly.
Yeah, our radio broadcast site is fortressoffaith.com, fortressoffaith.com. We just launched an app. Just for Android phones, just right now, we are trying to get into the iPhone market. And so people can listen to our daily 15-minute program. I cover the issues that's going on. And basically what I'm trying to do is alert people and show you why God is raising up Islam as an instrument of judgment and how we need to repent and how we need to resist Islam. Yeah, there's a political side. You know, don't just stand there and weep over it. Do your bit to try to fight it. But the biggest thing we need to do is fall to our knees, folks. We need to repent. And then we need to rescue Muslims. And that's missionstomuslims.com, missionstomuslims.com.
Fortressoffaith.com, missionstomuslims.com. Friends, check Tom out on the web. And then may I implore you, my dear friends, humble yourself if you're a believer in Jesus Christ before the God of heaven. Ask him to forgive you for your sin. And then walk with him aggressively, faithfully in his word every day. Pray that God sends revival to America, because the answer to America's ills is spiritual. Yes, there's political components, but the answer by far and away is a spiritual answer. And then join us again tomorrow, as all this week we're talking about Islam, the threat it poses, on Stand in the Gap Today. Till then.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Stand in the Gap Today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.